Be persistent in prayer and trust in God's justice, mercy, and generosity. That's what our readings today teach us. And they also teach us something about the nature of God. God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the rampant immorality and injustice going on there, so great that it cries out to heaven such that their just destruction is justified. Yet Abraham intercedes on behalf of the innocent in these towns, not once, not twice, six times. I counted. And note how Abraham assumes that God will act justly and not punish the innocent along with the wicked. And how he's confident that God will do what's right and just in response to his repeated pleadings on their behalf. And God condescends to listen and respond. And we learn two things from this. First, that God is willing to listen to our repeated prayers. And second, that God prefers mercy over justice. And these two are not in conflict. Justice is when we get what we deserve. Mercy is when we get better than what we deserve. Mercy builds upon justice. And God prefers mercy over justice. I mean, just look at here. If there had been 10 innocent people, just 10 righteous people in these towns, God would have foregone the punishment of hundreds, if not thousands, of the immoral. For the sake of just 10 righteous men, God was willing to spare this city whose iniquity cried out to heaven, in part because of Abraham's prayers on their behalf. And it turns out, Lot and his family were the only righteous ones in these towns. And God delivers them, minus, of course, Lot's wife, who turns around to watch the destruction after being told not to. But in his wisdom, God punishes the wicked and delivers the innocent. And he involves Abraham in this work by means of his repeated prayers on their behalf. And God doesn't just tolerate our repeated petitions. As Jesus makes it clear in our gospel reading today, God actually wants us to come to him with our petitions early and often. In the parable of the friend at midnight, afterward, and even in his teaching of the Our Father, Jesus teaches us to be persistent in prayer and to trust that God will answer these prayers and that his responses will be generous. In our gospel, we have Luke's version of the Our Father. Why is it different from Matthew's? Well, probably because Jesus taught this prayer on numerous occasions and changed the wording somewhat each time. But the main themes are present in both versions, Luke's and Matthew's, and one of those is a call to approach God with our petitions on a daily basis. Give us this day our daily bread, or give us each day our daily bread. This implies that the request should be made daily. In the parable at midnight, Jesus again teaches that we should persevere in our prayers so that we learn to go to God with our petitions repeatedly, bring him our daily concerns all the time. Now, that's not, of course, that God needs to be informed of what our wants and needs are. He already knows. But rather, it's because petitioning him repeatedly and daily deepens our relationship with him and helps us to develop a confidence in his fatherly care for us. Jesus tells us, ask, seek, knock. In the Greek in which these words were written, it implies continuing action. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, or always ask, always seek, always knock. God responds when we persistently ask for what's good. And if we humans know how to respond to a request, well, how much more generous will the response of our Heavenly Father be? He wants us to pray often and persistently because it brings us closer to Him. But all of this raises a legitimate question. If God already knows what our wants and needs are, then why make us ask for them repeatedly in prayer? Why not just give them to us immediately the first time we ask? Or, if He already knows what our wants and needs are, why make us ask for them at all? Why not just give them to us before we ask instead of waiting until we pray for them? Well, those of us who are parents already know the answer to that question. What happens when we give our children, give our children what they want the first time they ask for it, and we immediately give it to them? Or worse yet, what happens when we give it to them before they even ask? They get spoiled, right? And generally, we don't place much value on what we get without any effort, do we? But at the same time, what happens if, as parents, we always say no? Well, that's not good either. Because God's a good parent, sometimes the answer is yes. What we ask for comes to pass almost immediately. Sometimes the answer is no. What we ask for never happens. Sometimes the answer is not yet. What we ask for doesn't come to pass immediately, but it does at some point later on. And sometimes, at first at least, there's no answer. This is God encouraging us to come closer and keep asking. Which, as I said, fosters a closer and deeper relationship with Him. God wants to give us good things, but oftentimes He wants to give them to us in response to our prayers. In this way, He involves us and permits us to be involved in His providential guidance of the universe. Now, why would He do that? Think of a parent who wants to make a cake, but wants to make it with the assistance of the child. Is the parent perfectly capable of making the cake without the child's help? Of course. But involving the child results in a closer relationship between the parent and the child, and the child learns something in the process. And what if the child decides not to help? I don't wanna. I guess no cake then. But we shouldn't think that through our prayers we can change God's mind. That's not how prayer, petitionary prayer in particular, works. It's not as though God intends to do X, but then because we pray for Him to do Y instead, He changes His mind and does Y. No. Rather, it's from all eternity He intended to do Y, but He intended to do it in response to our prayers. And no prayers? Well, then maybe no Y. Put it another way, while we can't change God's mind with our prayers are nevertheless taken into account. In other words, from all eternity, God takes our prayers into account in His divine plan. Did you catch that? Our prayers themselves are part of His plan. And so even though our prayers don't change God's mind, we can see how crucially important they are. Let me give you a real-life example of of how this works. I knew a woman about 12 years ago who decided that she wanted to become a cloistered nun. But before entering the convent, she learned that her friend's husband had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Now, I don't remember what kind of cancer it was, but it was terminal. And so when she entered the convent, she decided that she was going to pray for this man's cure. And so for a month or so, she prayed for this man to be cured morning, noon, and night. And at the end of this month or so, she thought to herself, you know, this cloistered nun thing really isn't for me. And she left. But when she left, she learned that her friend's husband had been cured. The cancer was gone. God intended to cure this man, but he intended to do it in response to this woman's prayers. And it was no accident that she was in this convent, in a cloistered situation, right when this man, exactly when this man needed her prayers. And being cloistered and gave her the time to offer these prayers that she wouldn't have had otherwise. Now, if she hadn't offered these prayers for this man, would he have been cured anyway? I don't know. But do you think as a result of all this, this woman's relationship with God got better or worse? Let me offer this one final thought here. Remember that the purpose of prayer is not to conform God's will to our will. Rather, it's to conform our will to God's will. Prayer does not change God. It changes us. And the more frequently and persistently we pray, the closer we get to Him. And the more deeper grows our relationship with Him, and the more our will becomes conformed to His will. And His will is always better than our will when it's not conformed to His. That's why God wants us to be persistent in our prayers. And if you don't get what you ask for in prayer, keep asking. And if, as sometimes happens, the answer is no, well, then trust in God's justice, His mercy, and His goodness, and that He actually has something even better in mind.